In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Our Lady, Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we'll begin this last part here, or second from the last, in volume 31, 9832. And Louisa says, "And since today is the nativity of the Queen of Heaven, I stopped to think about the great portent of her birth, in which it seemed heaven and earth were at attention in order to adore this divine prodigy of the Blessed Mother. And my highest good Jesus, with his indelible love and tenderness, told me, 'Blessed daughter, my divine will, the birth of my celestial mother encloses all wonders, all prodigies united together.' But do you know why?" Okay, so now Jesus is going to teach us about his mother. The birth of Mary encloses all wonders. So this is why we celebrate on September 8th. She encloses all wonders. All prodigies united together are found in Mary. Why? Because she was not only born pure, not only born holy, not only born beautiful, not only born immaculate, no, but my divine will was born together with a celestial little baby girl, Mary. So here we're seeing that Mary was chosen from the beginning of time. That's why as soon as Adam sinned, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and your offspring." Mary is the woman conceived without sin. She is going to give birth to the child. That was always part of God's plan. So here we see very clearly. Is somebody in the back room talking? Could you go back there and tell them to? It's sort of kind of distracting. So, my divine will enclose itself in order to be born together with the Blessed Mother, to make use of the organ of this celestial creature in order to operate and form its divine life. So why do we love Our Lady? We love Our Lady because the divine will was first formed in her. She is the first to have the fullness of this divine will. Because, see, God knew that Adam was going to sin. God knew that they were going to fall. This was the... You have to understand, on Holy Saturday night, we say, "Oh, happy fall of Adam." You know, how come we're happy that Adam sinned? Oh, happy fall of Adam. Well, it's because God is going to do something even greater than what he did with Adam. With Mary, she's going to give birth to the child who's going to redeem mankind, and not only redeem, but Mary becomes the new Eve. Jesus becomes the new Adam and starts a whole new order of humans, greater than what God breathed into Adam. So on Holy Saturday night, we go, "Oh, happy fall of Adam." You have to understand, God has got this planned, and we're part of his plan. And all that he asks of us to do is to say, "Fiat, let his will reign in us." And watch what he's going to do. So he says this, Jesus says this. He says, "This was a prodigy that only the eternal love, the divine wisdom, and divine power could work." So the prodigy of Our Lady was formed by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The prodigy of Our Lady is, when you look at Our Lady, you see God. God who is invisible. You see the daughter of the Father, you see the mother of the Son, you see the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. See, now, think about that. When people say, "Well, I have the Holy Spirit," and you say, "Well, do you have a devotion to Mary?" "I don't need Mary, I've got the Holy Spirit." Mary is the temple and spouse of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes nowhere without the Blessed Mother. So if you want the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you have to have the Blessed Mother. So Jesus says this, "It was not only life that was given to the Blessed Mother, nor only the gift of being free from original sin. This would have been nothing for our divine power. What was amazing and called the attention of everyone was my divine will that was born together with Mary into the world, so much so that the heavens, the earth, remain shaken by it, placed themselves at attention, and felt a mysterious strength, the same strength that dominated and conserved the whole of creation. So think about it. It's like, you know, Our Lady coming here. This is blessed ground, okay? He says very clearly. So much so that the heavens and the earth remained shaken by it. Where Our Lady appears is a place that's more beautiful than other places, like Lourdes and Fatima, La Salette. Where Our Lady has been, the land is holy. The land is sacred. And the angels are at attention. So being even healings happen, great healings happen where Our Lady was. Why? Because this is what Jesus says. He says very clearly, the heavens and the earth are still shaken because of God, because of what our Lord did with Our Lady. He says, it is our very divine will that moved everything and placed itself in the whole of creation of the service and disposition of this newborn baby girl. So as we get to know Our Lady, this is why if you have a statue of Our Lady, make sure she's crowned. If you have a statue of Our Lady, make sure it's a clean statue if it's outside. You know, if it needs to be painted, make sure it's painted. Just don't have, well, I got a statue of Our Lady and it's just falling apart out there. Make sure that there's honor. I remember this one parish, they had a statue of Our Lady out front. And the new pastor came in and he wouldn't turn the light on, you know. And I drove by, kept on driving by, I said to the Lord, if I had a statue like that, I would make sure I had a light on Our Lady every day. So everyone would know she is my mother, she is my queen. About a month later, I got a statue and I go, how can I get electricity outside? You know, it's, we want everybody to know Our Lady. She is our mother. She is our queen. She is the Theotokos. She is the mother of God. And because of her, there's beauty at our house. Because of her, there's beauty on our land. You know, this is, like he says, Jesus says, our very will that moved everything and placed itself, the whole of creation, at the service and disposition of Mary. So this birth of my divine will, together with Mary, was the origin that called all the other prodigies to centralize themselves in Mary. Where my divine fiat reigns, there is no good that it does not enclose, nor there are prodigies that it does not complete. So here we see that Mary's fiat, because of the fiat, all good is there. All prodigies occur because of Mary's fiat. Now, what Jesus taught Louisa is to say fiat. Okay, this is what we're learning. Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. Our Lady says, fiat mihi, let it be done to me, as you say. Our Louisa says, fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come in me, reign in me, as the saints possess it in heaven. So we're going to learn. Now listen, as you say fiat, says this, there is no good that is not centralized in the fiat. So as we begin to give our fiat, God begins to reign in us in a way that he never was before. What he has planned for us is astonishing. So he says this. It wants to display its love and power by forming its operating life and placing of our own life for however much is possible for a creature to contain. So that means the more we say fiat, the more we're docile, the more we're submissive, the more God can fill us with his divine love, his divine light, his divine life. Therefore, let us admire, let us thank the supreme being that arrives so much love towards this little newborn baby girl, Mary, as to let our unborn will, the divine will, that is neither beginning nor end nor limits, its confines, be born in Mary. See, this fiat is so important. This fiat. Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? He says, those that do the will of God. Now, Jesus has taught Louisa how not only to do the will of God, but to live in the will of God, which the saints didn't know. See, the saints, it's like the men of the Old Testament, the women of the Old Testament. None of them were ontologically changed at baptism. None of them received the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. None of them received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it wasn't time for the men and the women of the Old Testament. I mean, look at Moses, Elijah. Let's look at, you know, David, King David. None of them were baptized because it wasn't time. Now, we have the last 2,000 years, we have baptism. We have ontological changes. We have Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, a holy communion. We have the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. But not the divine will yet. Not living in the divine will. Why? Because it wasn't time. Now with Louisa, Jesus says, a new order is coming. A new time is going to be established. So God wants us to begin to embrace this gift so that He can manifest His love, His life, His light in us. So volume 30, 31, 1932. After this, my little mind wandered in all the acts done by the divine will and was passing from one to another, and I arrived at the conception of the Most Holy Virgin Mary. Oh God, the heavens remained mute before this complete act of divine will. The angels seemed stammering, for however much they say, it seems that they do not know how to say everything about this great prodigy that is so beautiful. That's Mary. The angels don't know what to say. She's so beautiful. Only God can speak of it, because God is the author of this prodigy of Mary, of what has worked in this immaculate conception. And while I remained amazed, my lovable Jesus surprisingly told me, my daughter, the conception of the Immaculate Virgin was a new act of our divine will. New in the way, new in time, new in grace. And like I said yesterday, when you read new, read God. So here he says, let's read it again. My daughter, the conception of my Immaculate Virgin was a God act of our divine will. A God act in a new way. A God act in time. A God act in grace. See, now think about it. Now, Our Lady said, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. That's for us. God is going to do something. Not just new, but something that has never been seen. Never been seen. Never been heard. What's coming is so beautiful. Like we mentioned it yesterday. In the last chapter of Volume 24, Jesus says that the Jews will be converted, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants will all become Catholic. Why? It's the universal life. The life that God breathed into Adam. This universal life, this Catholic life is what's going to happen. What is it going to take to make every Muslim say, I want to be baptized Catholic? What kind of miracle is coming that everyone who survives is going to say, I want to be Catholic? Can you imagine what's coming? Now, the devil knows something's coming. And that's why he's trying to kill as many people as he can. Because if he can get rid of many people, they're not going to be able to enter into this life. So this is why everything's falling apart. The only one that's terrified of what's coming is the devil. He knows his kingdom is coming to an end. We are going to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So the sign of the times for us is not the earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues. It's not that. The sign of the times for us is Louisa Picaretta in the Book of Heaven. And as we read the Book of Heaven, as we get to know who Louisa is, we are so filled with peace, joy, and happiness that nothing will disturb us. And God is going to test us. Like I said, He has to test us. He has to see if we can say fiat in all things. So the whole of creation, all of creation was renewed because of Our Lady. Recreated because of Our Lady. In our all-seeingness and the immensity that we, Triune God, called all creatures, all their good acts, present, past, and future, as if they were one alone, so that at this Immaculate Conception, they could be formed over everything and everyone to give right the right to everyone and give them the right, not with words, but with deeds over everything. So it's a, because of Our Lady, everything was changed. Everything was changed. That's why we celebrate her day. That's why we honor her. What God did with her is astonishing. Who is this Blessed Mother that all the world changed? Who is this woman who conceived God? I mean, thank God we're Catholic. You know, we love Our Lady. But God says, no one has told the world about My Mother the way she needs to be revealed. And that's why Jesus says, I, as God, He says to Louisa, will teach the world who My Mother is. That's one of the great things we find in the Book of Heaven, is we're falling more in love with the Blessed Mother. We're falling more in love with Jesus. We're falling more in love with our triune God, because He is explaining to us things that we never knew. So He says, when our divine will does an act that must serve for the universal good of everyone, it puts no one aside. See, now think of this. He wants us to live in the divine will. Okay? This is a universal good for everyone, past, present, and future. Therefore, no one will be put aside. Why? Because God's saying to us, do you want to help people? Like we were saying earlier, young lady. Yeah, thank you. Do you want to help people? Jesus says, no one will be put aside who, if you live in the divine will. You'll bring everyone to the throne of God. Now think about this. We love Mother Teresa. She took one baby at a time and brought it to the hospital. One baby at a time, brought it to the orphanage. She spent 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament and then 5 hours on the street every day. She had everything in perfect order. Love God with your whole mind, heart, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the divine will, we do more than she. How? We're not in India. How can we do more? Because we're taking all of mankind to the throne of God. We pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So Jesus says, you are the feet of the apostles. You are the hands of the healers. You are the voice of the preachers. You are the ones that are bringing everyone to the throne of God. So when we pray, it's come divine will, come breathe in My breathing, in the name of everyone and everything, so that I can give You all the glory, all the love, all the praise, all the honor, in the name of everyone, past, present, and future. As you pray in the divine will, God hears everyone in the world who has ever lived, ever conceived, say to God, I love You, with your voice. You're bringing everyone to the throne of God. So Jesus says, it looks like you're doing nothing, but in reality, you're doing everything. So as we begin to learn how to pray in the divine will, what Jesus is, we're doing what Jesus did. When Jesus hung on the cross, He took our place. See, what we have to have crucified with Jesus is our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. That's what's crucified with Jesus. Never do we want that in our life again. What we want in our life is peace, joy, and happiness. We want heaven. So the consequences of being nailed to the cross with Jesus is to begin to live a life of heaven. No longer a life of earth. No longer a life of misery. So Jesus says, when our divine will does an act, it must serve for the universal good of everyone. It puts no one aside, and making use of its omnipotence, it reunites everything together, creatures and their acts, except for sin, because evil cannot enter into God's acts. And it completes the acts that the divine will wants to do and has planned to do. So it's a reparation, it's a repairing of the earth. The prayer that we pray is, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of Your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of Your love, which is the divine will. Send forth Your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then You, Holy Spirit, will transform the face of the earth through us. So that's why Jesus has said to Louisa, you have the greatest mission. What I'm calling you to do is to bring about the renewal of the face of the earth. That's our job. And all that Jesus says to do is say fiat. That's all Our Lady did. When Our Lady said fiat, God did 100% of the work after that. And then at the foot of the cross, He said fiat. She said to the Lord, fiat. She sacrificed her son because she knew somebody had to die. Either we all died or Jesus died. You know, again, what mother would sacrifice for their son? What mother would want to be in the presence of her son dying? That Jesus wanted her there. Jesus wanted to have her see what He did for us. And that's why when you go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're in front of the monstrance, it's important that you look at Jesus. Look at Him. Don't just sit there looking at your watch. I got 5 more minutes and then I can go. You have to fall in love with Jesus. You have to look at Jesus. That's why what Mel Gibson did was glorious. And you see what the devil did to him because of his human weakness. It's very important that we have to understand that when the Muslims went to see The Passion of the Christ, they went to see an anti-Jewish movie. They went to see people who hated, who just made the Jews look bad. And what they did when they got there was they saw mercy. First time. They saw Jesus. First time. And many are converted because of it. See, the only place in the Quran that says mercy is, do not be merciful to the infidel. Do not show mercy to the infidel. They're the only two places that mercy is there. So when they saw Jesus, they recognized mercy and they wanted it. See, this is that's why if you haven't seen the movie, you got to watch it, and especially during Lent, you know, watch the movie. You know, I know some people that says, "Oh, it's too horrific for me. I don't want to watch it." You have to participate in it. See, this is why they want people to be watching beheadings. They want to watch the youth to watch killings, because you participate in the murder with your eyes. You participate in the cheering as the person dies. With us, we have to participate in this. We have to watch Jesus die. That's why the Passion of the Christ, and that's one of the best things that you could do if you haven't done it, and you can go to LuisaPicaretta.me, download the Passion of the Christ, the 24 Hours of the Passion, and find people to pray with you to go through this Lent, the Passion of Jesus, to look at Jesus, to look at what He went through. You have to see it to participate in it. He wants us to see Him die. He wants us to see Him suffer. He wants us to know how much He suffered for us so that we could have redemption. And now He wants to give us sanctification. So again, this is, Jesus says this. So then He says, I want you to see all your acts were also contributed. But to put forth that part, therefore by right, you are Our Lady's child. And the Virgin Queen, by right, is your mother. So, Mary, we have to understand, we are the children of Mary. We are the children of Jesus. And Mary is our mother. Jesus is the praises of Jesus. He's called Father of the Age to Come. We have to understand that He is our Father. Mary is our mother. He is the new Adam. Our Lady is the new Eve. It's a new beginning for mankind. Now, we have our Heavenly Father, but one of the titles that Jesus has is Father of the Age to Come. Do you know why we, Triune God, had this way of bringing this holy creature, Mary, forth into light? In order to renew the whole of creation, to love creation again with a new love, and to place everyone and everything in safety as though under the wings of this creature, Mary, this celestial mother. So again, God wants to renew all of creation with a new love. And again, see God there, with God's love, with a new heavens and a new earth. God's heaven, God's earth is coming. It's very important that we recognize that God has predestined us to be alive at this time. He has asked us to begin to read the book of heaven. And you have to have a priest. Don't try to read it without a priest, because you won't understand everything. The devil will use the things that you don't understand to twist and to turn and to lead you away from God. And I've heard some people who've read the divine will, and they said, "Well, I don't need to go to Mass anymore. I'm living the divine life." You go, "What's wrong with you? What religion are you in? And I don't need to pray the rosary anymore. I have the divine life." Now, that's not the divine will. The divine will is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And if you see images of Louisa, most of the time she's got the rosary in her hand. Jesus says it's the rosary, the Holy Rosary, that's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So if you're reading the volumes and you put down the rosary, you stop going to Mass, something is wrong. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that, he says this, "When the divine will reigns, watch the power that will come out of the Holy Eucharist. Watch what will happen to the souls who receive the Holy Eucharist." See, God wants to give more to mankind, more than we've ever had before. And it's not to continue to live like this, but to continue to redo the face of the earth so that the Holy Spirit is in charge. So he says, we train God, never do our works isolated, but we always start from one act and one alone. And while it is only one, it unites everything and does everything as if it were one alone. This is our divine omnipotence. This is our creative strength. And in one single act, we do everything to find everything and to do good for everyone. So what's coming because of Mary? We are redeemed. Because Mary said fiat, we are redeemed. Now, this is what's so astonishing. If she didn't say fiat, we would be owned by the devil, and all that we could look forward to was hell. But because she said fiat, we have heaven. Because she said fiat, we have Jesus. Now, Jesus and Mary want us to have sanctification. Now they want us to have their life. Not just a virtue or two like the saints, but their life reigning in us. So Jesus says this in volume 33, 2:4, 1934. "My abandonment in the divine volition continues, and finding everything that I had done in the divine will, the little atom of my soul makes her round again and again in order to give my little I love you for everything that it had done in the round of eternity for the love of all creatures." Now, this round is very important. To do a round, okay, is to give your I love you for every leaf on a tree, for every blade of grass, for every grain of sand. Because Jesus says, that's an I love you to us. So when we see it, it's like these flowers. Every one of these flowers is an I love you. But not only that, every leaf is an I love you. Not only that, but every stem is I love you. Not only that, but the water is I love you. God is constantly showering us with I love you. But he says he made Adam to be the voice to give back to God the I love you. And he says everything is silent. We have to return an I love you for everything that God has given us. So in the divine will, I love you for every leaf on a tree, for every blade of grass, for every flower that ever existed. So it's not just these, but from the beginning of time to the end of time, this is an explosion of I love yous in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. For every heartbeat of every human, every breath of every human that ever existed. It's a billion trillion I love you is going to the throne of God. Do you see why God doesn't need many? If we learn how to do this and we do it properly, giving God all the I love you, thank you, I love you too. Giving back to God his I love you that is given to us. Now this is in creation. And what we're seeing is also in redemption. So it's to give God, I love you for every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water. I mean, think of the sands on the beaches, of all the beaches, of all the beaches, of all the universe. Now let's think of the atoms that are in the grains of sand. Now see, that's our job. Our job is to give back to God, and I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you in the name of everyone and everything. See, Adam was doing this when the devil tricked Adam, lied to Adam, and Adam sinned. That was it. It was silent until Jesus and Mary. When Jesus and Mary came here, then there's all these I love yous going back up to the throne of God. When Jesus and Mary left, Jesus says it was silent again. There was no hymns of glory to God. And with the I love you, I praise you, I thank you. So he says, until Louisa. Now with Louisa and with the souls linked to Louisa, there's this explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. God is then satisfied because, see, if a spouse says to the spouse, I love you, one saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and the other one says, I love you, I love you. You know, it doesn't. It's there's got to be that competition. I love you. No, I love you. I love you. I know I love you. Then there's a happy marriage. But with all these I love yous that are around, you see, Jesus says, no one's seeing what he has done. No one is recognizing the beautiful sunsets, the clouds in the sky, the chirping of the birds. Every one of those is an I love you to us. And we're walking around blind. He says, I want you to begin to see. See, that's why I'm saying you're going to see the love of God. You're going to begin to hear the love of God. Our senses are made for God. When you hear it, see, people do this. They pray and they go, oh my God, blah, 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 and somebody starts yelling. You go, stop it, you're distracting me. And somebody, the dog's barking, get rid of that dog, it's distracting me. Stop. Well, if you read St. Teresa, when St. Teresa was washing the dishes, this nun next to her kept on splashing. It was getting her all wet. And she complained to Jesus. She says, I can't pray because now I got to get out of these clothes. I got to get clean clothes. I got to iron these clothes. This is really distracting me. And Jesus said to her, the distractions please me. She goes, so she stood next to her, splash me more. See, distractions are good. See, Jesus is going to teach you what to pray. See, what the divine will, your rounds, as you enter into the rounds, as you learn the rounds, you will pray 24 hours a day, even while you're sleeping. What happens is, as you're praying and a dog barks, you go, and for all the dogs that ever barked, you know. And then a fly goes by, and for all the flies. Like Jesus said, Jesus showed Louisa these bugs. And Louisa said, Jesus, why are there so many bugs? And Jesus says, because I could not stop saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. See, what happens is you begin to... I remember when I was in Texas back in the 90s, I was talking about the divine will, and this lady said that she always had trouble with wasps in her sunroom. And she was swatting wasps from the day summer began to the day summer ended. And I said, well, you can command in the divine will. You can say to the wasps, you know, you can't be here. So she said, I'm going to try that. She goes back and she says to the wasps, you can't be here. She says she never swatted a wasp that summer. See, you have to understand, Adam was Lord of the earth. That's why Jesus comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He as the new Adam. You know, Adam was a priest. That's why every father of a family is the priest of their family. You should have holy water font in your beginning of your house. You should make sure that he leads in prayer, morning prayer if he can, evening prayer if he can, at least dinner prayer. Adam was a priest. Jesus says he's going to renew the priesthood. He's going to recreate in a beautiful way his church. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. And what we see now is nothing compared to what's coming. What God has got planned is so beautiful. So he says here, my abandonment in the divine volition continues, finding everything he had done in the divine will. The little Adam of my soul goes around to all the animals, all the vegetables, all the minerals, and to give God glory. Now, this Adam is very important. In the contemplative prayer, you actually experience yourself as an Adam. as nothing, but also at the same time filling an entire basilica. Because we are nothing, yet God fills us with divinity, and He wants us to share in His divinity. So as we begin to pray, Jesus says, learn how to pray your round again and again, so that your little I love you will be for everything that God has done for the love of man. As you begin to pray your rounds, honest to goodness, like I said before, God will take you places. And that's why I say, you got to get a priest, you know, because you're going to go, Father, I think I'm going out of my mind. You know, and the great thing about that is, it's fiat. I mean, you will go to Eden. You'll go to the Garden of Eden. You will experience the love that's there. You will go to the throne of God. I'm not kidding you. It's not pious thought. God wants to have you begin to live a life that Jesus lived, that Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve. So He's going to ask you, and He's not going to force you. He's not going to say, you're going to do this. He just says, how much do you want? How much do you desire? So the more that we say fiat, we can watch God do things that will astonish us. Or for example, I mean things. I mean, I've told you that about the hurricane coming. And I went, oh my God, we're gone. And I stood on the porch and I said, you know, in the name of Jesus, Holy Guardian Angels, under the mantle of Mary, Holy Guardian Angels, Louisa, Holy Guardian Angels, stop. And I just said, stop. And it was like a light switch. And I went, this is amazing. Everything stopped. But that's just one of the many, 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 many things God is going to show you. He wants to lead us to the way He prays. He wants to lead us the way His mother prays. And that's what they taught Louisa. That's why these rounds, Our Lady says they're so powerful that God answers them perfectly. This is the thing. I mean, miracles. That's why if you and nobody has a relic of Louisa. I've got a few left. I found some more in my little satchel. Miraculous. You go to Louisa, you pray to Louisa, you plead with Louisa, and watch what happens. Such miracles are, see, because God is going to show us who this little newborn is. And like with John Paul II, had one miracle to be beatified. John Paul II had two miracles to be canonized. Louisa, I told you, the Father Bucci's brother, was brought to Louisa, and it was a baby, cold, stone, blue, dead baby. Dead. And the mother put it on Louisa's lap and fell to the floor, weeping. And see, look, it's the music out of nowhere. Well, that was good. That was perfect timing. And Louisa just gave the baby back to the mother and said, feed him, he's hungry. See, the miracles that are going to come through Louisa are going to astonish you. Trust me, you're going to enter into a new beginning, as Jesus says here, that is going to make you so happy, you're going to be astonished. So Jesus says this, and my beloved Jesus stopped me in the waves, okay, of this interminable love on the conception of the celestial Mama Mary. In all goodness, He told me, little daughter of my volition, your I love you. See, this is what we give to God all the time. For however little wounds our divine love, and from those wounds, it makes us, triune God, give us the occasion of making our hidden love come forth and of making it revealer of our intimate secrets and of how much we, triune God, love all souls. So as Louisa would say, I love you, God would say, thank you, I want to give you more truths so that as you read these, other souls will be blessed. Now, he says, you must know that we love all mankind, but we were constrained to keep hidden in our divine being all the immense ardor of our love because we did not find in souls either the beauty that enraptured our love or the love that wounding us would make our love come out in order to inundate souls to make itself known, to love them and to make itself loved. Rather, they were so absorbed in their faults as to make us horrified to look at them. So Jesus is saying that before Mary, everybody was just so filled with filth that it was horrified, Jesus said, to look at them. But our love burned, and we love these souls, and we wanted to make our love reach everyone. But how do we do this? We must use a great invention of our divine love in order to reach these souls, and hear it how it is. We call to life the little tiny Virgin Mary, and creating her all pure and all holy and all beautiful and all love without original sin, and making our own divine will conceive together with her, so that between her and us there would be free access, perennial and inseparable union. Free access to God. See, God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. God is closer to us than our own breath. That's why when we receive Holy Communion, the wonderful thing is that this is the time to pray. This is the time to say to God your deepest concerns. When you're one with Jesus in a mystical way. You're one in the real presence of Jesus. And that's why he says, I want this to be continuously free access, perennial, and inseparable union. So we are receiving Jesus to begin this life of the divine will. And now that we have the Book of Heaven, now that as we read this life, we're going to begin to live a life that no one has ever seen. It's not new, because Adam lived it. Jesus and Mary lived it, but no human possessed it. The first human to possess it, Jesus says, is Louisa. So as we read this, as we study this, and if you have any questions, going to a priest and say, what does this mean? What happens is the doors open. Okay. Now, the celestial queen, Mary, enraptured us with her beauty, and our love ran and ran with her love, and she wounded us, and our love overflowing hid itself in Mary. And looking through her beauty and with her love for all souls, our love poured itself out and loved everybody with a hidden love in this celestial queen. So that's why the more we understand who Our Lady is, the more we know God's love is there. That's why I said when you look at Mary, you see God. It's she is the daughter of the Father, she's the mother of the Son, and she's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. A God who is invisible is seen in a human. This is what's so beautiful. In fact, we loved everyone in the Blessed Mother. Through her beauty, they did not seem ugly to us anymore. Our love was no longer restricted within us, but now it was diffused into the heart of a creature so holy, and communicating our divine paternity to Mary and loving everyone in the Blessed Mother, Our Lady acquired the divine maternity in order to be able to love everyone as her own children, offspring of the celestial Father. As Our Lady felt that we loved all souls in her, Our Lady also felt that our love formed a new generation of mankind in her maternal heart. Do you see? Something good is going to come for this. This is why the devil does not want us to go to church. The devil wants us to not keep holy the Sabbath. The devil wants us to, be focused on the black tabernacle in our house, to worship that rather than coming to Jesus and Mary. So he says, can no one give greater invention of love, strategisms of more love than our paternal goodness, in order to love all souls? But even those who offend us, we love. To elect them from the same lot of creature, to form Mary as beautiful as we can, such that our love would not find any obstacle in order to be able to love everyone in the Blessed Mother, and to make our Blessed Mother love everyone. In this celestial queen, everyone can find our divine love hidden in Mary. Even more, because possessing our divine will, Our Lady commanded us to make us love everyone. So think about that. Mary, at the foot of the cross, Mary, Jesus said, "This is your mother," to John, which is our mother. And now Mary says to Jesus, "These are my children." You know, this is just astonishing. So she commands God to love everyone. See, she's our defense. And we, Triune God, with our sweet empire, commanded Mary to be the most loving mother of all. True love does not know how to be without loving, and it uses all the arts. It takes the occasion of the littlest things as well as the greatest in order to love. Our love now hides itself, now it reveals itself, now directly, now in an indirect way, in order to make known that we animate with incessant love Mary, who we brought forth from the depth of our love. A greater gift we, Triune God, could not give to all the human generations than giving them this incomparable creature, Mary, as mother of all, Mary, as bearer of our hidden love. So in Mary, all the children feed, and all of them are her children. So you see, God is nurturing us with this human, Mary, freed of original sin. Our God is so in love with us that He's given us the Book of Heaven, and one of the best parts of the Book of Heaven is to learn more about Mary, so that as we grow in this knowledge of Mary, as we grow in this awareness of the love of Jesus and Mary, it's a new beginning for all of us. So we'll end there, and we'll begin again in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.